Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 570 of the Drunk Testers Podcast. I'm your host, as always, I'm Tyler, and join me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What is up, Brochacho?
Ha! Well, so far so good. Glad to have some days off. I mean, work week was as it was, like, busy, everything else was going all right. But on top of that, I did a little bit of gaming this week, did a little bit of, like, Nintendo Switch Online stuff. But on top of that, though, I mean, yeah, this week has actually been pretty decent. Heard a lot of good, fun game stuff for, very surprised ports being good, or even, like, in terms of one game that supposedly is doing pretty good, that's Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Yep.
So that one I'm kind of excited to see a little bit more of, especially with more of the reviews come through and stuff. And another surprising one that I was looking into, which I really wasn't at first, though, but kind of intrigued by, and that was Red Dead Redemption's port on Switch. Apparently, that one has had some little bit more effort put into this one, to where they actually went through a lot of the shaders, a lot of the other, like, effects inside of it, to where it looks like it's a little bit better than the actual 360 release.
Yeah, yeah, I heard the PS4 one actually, like, runs in, like, 4K 30. So. I actually did. I realized this last night, actually. I actually, like, owned the digital edition on my Xbox. So, like, I'm good to go then. Because I think they did the FPS boost for it a while back. So.
Oh, yeah. They've done that for, like, a while ago. Mm-hmm. It's just now with some Rockstar just coming out with the PS4 and the Switch port and stuff. It's like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So they can sell you $50. So, yeah.
But other than that, though, what have you been doing, Tyler?
You know, clinging and banging as always. You know, it's been a long summer, been a long last 4 months, so just been working a lot. So, Gables, I did something.
Yeah, what'd
I did
you do?
Something. I didn't want to tell you about it. I'm gonna show you.
There we go.
Almost lost it. Shazam!
You bought yourself a Series X.
I bought an Xbox Series X, baby. For audio listeners out there. I have the Xbox Series X box in my hand. So I just got it last night, set it up, and I've had the Series S since like March 2021. I found a decent little bundle on the S a couple years ago, and I'll be good on this I think this would be perfect for me. And then it's like Starfield's coming, Gables Force is coming. And I'm like,
yep.
Hellblade 2 was like, all right, when they did the little showpiece trailer even though I know it wasn't gameplay, at Summer Game Fest back in June. I'm like, fuck, all right. So I need to get a Series X before that comes out. So I want to be prepared, because that's going to be the big showpiece for me. And I bought that, and I've been working crazy hours for the last like 4 months or so. And I've been pretty good about not like spending a bunch of money on dumb shit, you know, being smart about, you know, paying bills, getting ahead on shit as much as I can. I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to spoil myself a little bit. So I bought this. So I got my Series S sitting over here now. I'm probably going to hook it up to my PC, and maybe I can use it for like streaming and shit whenever I stream, whenever that may be. Maybe Extra Life, shit like that. But so I bought that. So I'm pretty excited about doing it. So I was going through last night, though, when I got it all set up. I'm like, all right, I want to fucking see some shit on this. So I was still like, all right, well, let's download some of the showpiece stuff I have like on Game Pass. And I went through Gables. Not a lot of showpiece games on this Xbox console yet. I immediately went download Forza Horizon 5. I'm like, of course, gotta do that. And I was like, all right, cool. What else can I get? That's like I want like an Xbox like series game. I know there's like Gears 5 and Gears 4 look fantastic on that thing, but they're last gen games. I want like something that was made for this. And I was like, well, there's not a lot. There's not a lot, Gables. So I drove around for like an hour or so in Forza. And it looks beautiful, don't get me wrong. I'm super pumped. I'm looking forward to Starfield here in a couple weeks. So that did it for me. That comes out. Cool little thing here, people. I mentioned this on the podcast. I'll mention this probably again in a week or two when the game comes out. If you are someone that's planning on playing Starfield through Game Pass, it comes out September 6th. But if you want to play that game on the 1st, if you're just planning on playing like through Game Pass, like I said, you can actually just buy the premium digital edition that comes with like all the DLC and comes with everything, for just $30, and you get the game on September 1st. So, I was actually able to surprisingly get the uh, the Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm usually, I usually, Wednesdays are supposed to be my day off anyways. But I've been working my days off for a while now. So, I surprisingly was able to get the Tuesday after Labor Day off. And I'm going to be taking that Wednesday off afterwards. So I have a nice little 5-day weekend, and I'm going to play Starfield until my eyes bleed. So that's my plan. on my new Xbox Series X. So, yeah, pretty excited about that. Got that. So I got all hooked up and sticking around with it mostly today, but, yeah, we'll talk about what we play a little bit later. But yeah, that's pretty excited about it. Gave us good times. So you and I both, we now both of us now have the top tier consoles for each platform. So,
well, we do.
I don't have the Switch OLED, I guess, but I have the launch Switch still. But still, you know what I mean. We have the main tier. Yeah. Plus, we both have Series S's. Anyways, though, guys, if you like us, you like what we're doing, like the show, please like, follow, subscribe anywhere we're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Spotify, wherever pods are on. Just search for us, Drunk Dash Nerds. You'll find us there. Please leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends, subscribe, share all that fun stuff. That I really appreciate if you do that for us. But Gables, let's jump into some news this week. We're kind of in this weird little spot here while we're waiting for Gamescom to happen. We have Gamescom on Tuesday, as Opening Night Live is on Tuesday, August 22nd. Also, a bunch of games coming out that day too. But we have that, and then Gamescom is going to be happening the 23rd through, I believe, the 27th. So I think, yeah, it's a Wednesday through Saturday. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like technically it's bigger than E3 whatever was, because like the amount of people that go. But it's more like they allow a lot more like just consumers in than they do, like, you know, E3 is mostly journalists and people like working for like companies and shit going there. This one is more so, it's that, but more so, just customers, just like people like us going to the show. This is the third year now of the Opening Night Live with Jeff Keighley. This is his third event. He added, like I said, a few years ago. And that's going to be kind of kicking off, in Germany. He's going to be doing that. I believe that is at, was it 1 o'clock? I think it's 11 o'clock your time, 11 o'clock Pacific time on Tuesday. But Jeff Keighley did some interviews about it. And kind of just like some of the stuff that we know so far. I thought we could just kind of talk about like kind of our expectations for it, going into it. But here's what we know so far that's going to be there. We know we're going to get a trailer for Alan Wake 2. We're going to see some more from Assassin's Creed Mirage. Black Myth Wukong, which has been a game that showed off a long time ago. That was like one of the first like Unreal Engine 5 games, I believe, that was ever like shown off.
Yes.
I remember like Gables, in January, we did our Fans Critic draft, and Gables drafted it because this was coming out this year. And then literally like 2 days later, they delayed it to next year. So, so that we're getting some more of that. The preview, IGN just dropped a preview actually tonight, about that. So, that game looks fantastic, at least graphically. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, we're going to get some gameplay for that for the first time. Crimson Desert, which I honestly don't know what that is. Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty DLC. We're going to get some more info on that one. I don't know if we've actually seen gameplay yet on that. I'm sure I remember at Summer Game Fest if we got gameplay. I know we got like a trailer, but sure we'll get more of that. Delta Force, which is NetEase just talked about that. That's I guess a game from like 1990. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
I think I've heard about it, but it was on PlayStation.
I believe it was a PC game. Is what it sounds PC. Like, but it was a first person shooter game on PC from like 1998. Fort Solace, which is actually coming out on Tuesday. That's the game where you're on like on Mars and a bunch of shit goes down. The Troy Baker's in it. A bunch of big names are voice acting in that. Lords of the Fallen, the sequel of Lords of Fallen, I believe is what the first game was called. Mortal Kombat 1, we're getting a trailer for that one. Nightingale, which I completely forgot about that game completely existing.
Yeah.
Sonic Superstars, which I'm assuming will be a release date for that one, because the original release date, we never got a release date, but a website leaked October 17th. That was a little while ago, so things can move around. And then Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon, which I read a thing about Rebel Moon and I already completely forgot what that thing was about. So that's what he's mentioned. It was going to be there. Jeff Keighley did do an interview though. He said viewers should expect mostly updates on announced games planned to release over the next 12 months. This year's Opening Night Live is less about announcing brand new projects and more about giving fans updates on some of the biggest games due out over the next year. Jeff Keighley mentioned that there's unique challenges compared to his other annual events. Talking about Game Awards, Summer Game Fest, not just due to the fact it's in Europe, but also due to the ties to partners exhibiting at the Gamescom itself. So more so talking about, like, not everybody's there. Where, like, you know, you talk about E3 in the past and Summer Game Fest, like, everybody's in town. Everybody's there. It's in LA. So you have all pretty much all the big studios and all the smaller studios are going to be there, like indies. So it's a lot easier to get, you know, some relationships there. But some of the stuff, so I was trying to, like, remember, like, was anything big ever happened? Because it's always, like, this is only year three of it for Opening Night Live. But it's always been definitely easily the third tier, the bottom tier of it. But it's never, that first year is pretty rough, but I thought the last year's was actually a little better. But I was like, what's been, like, even announced there? There's been some pretty decent stuff. There's, like I said, it's always been mostly updates. Some of the stuff we did get was, like, Dead Island 2 officially was, like, re-revealed last year, and we got a release date for that. Sonic Frontier got a release date. Return of Monkey Island was revealed. Saints Row in 2021 got a release date, which was eventually delayed. But it was only a few month delay. Horizon Forbidden West got a release date. The DualSense Edge was revealed there last year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which is crazy. I completely forgot about that. And also they revealed the Halo Xbox that came out for Halo Infinite was revealed there. So that's kind of I think that kind of sets a decent tier of, like, what maybe we can expect for this event. We do also have Xbox will be there, and they're doing, like, their biggest event ever at Gamescom. But they're not doing, like, it sounds like not an actual, like, stage show at all. They're pretty much, they mentioned that they're going to be on their, like, Twitch channel and stuff like that. They're streaming all day, and they'll have, like, they'll be streaming for, like, I think 3 hours a day. And you can, like, see, like, their booth and maybe some stuff for games there. But we do know, like, there's going to be, like, you can play, you can get hands-on with, like, Stalker 2. What else? Payday 3 is going to be there. Jassant is supposed to be there. Armored Core 6 is going to be there. Party Animals. Not all of these are going to be, like, games you can actually play. But, like, also, like, Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty is going to be there. Under the Waves will be there. Persona 5 Tactica. They did mention, like, yeah, I think you can actually play Forza there as well. Starfield will also be there, but it won't be playable. So, they haven't said anything, though, about, like, so no news on Fable, Avowed, South of Midnight, Clockwork Revolution, or Hellblade 2, but I don't expect we'll see anything from there. So, yeah, kind of a weird thing. So, it's, like, same thing with Nintendo as well. Nintendo is said they'll be there. It's the first time in 4 years they're going to be there, but they have not said a word about anything, about even, like, what, like, if there's going to be anything playable there, they're going to show anything there. Maybe they can have something that Keighley show, but we've talked about over the years that, like, with Keighley, since really Reggie left, they haven't really done anything with Keighley. So I don't know.
Right.
I think I'm going in with, like, pretty modest expectations. I'm not, like, I will say, you know, I know people like to give Keighley a lot of shit and stuff like that. I appreciate, like, I love, like, I'd rather have a Summer Game Fest and Game Awards and Opening Live than not have them at all. So I enjoy them, flaws and everything. This is definitely, like, I'm not expecting, like, crazy here, but I also appreciate that Keighley is always in the past, like, done a good job of, like, keeping expectations in check. Like, he's, like, this year going into Summer Game Fest, he was, like, very much hyping me up because he knew he had the stuff, and he had a lot of good shit there. And the year before that, Game Awards 2 years ago, he, like, came out and he's like, you're only as good as the games you have. And he's like, I can't control the games I have. So, like, he's done a good job, I think, of keeping expectations in check, which I always appreciate. And I think he did a good job there. Like, hey, expect a lot of updates and not a lot of new stuff. Kind of what are you expecting on Opening It Live and just Gamescom in general? Are you how excited are you for this event?
Honestly, to be perfectly frank, I mean, I really haven't been much of a fan, like, of Gamescom in years past. I mean, last year was really, like, the first time where we had, like, major things be announced
Well, 2 years
there.
ago we did.
Yeah.
We started to, like,
Well, 2 years
Xbox did an event there and stuff, yeah, so. But really, yeah, this is the 3rd year of it, so.
Yeah, that's true too. But what I'm expecting really is like either like release dates for certain games or like maybe new stuff adding on to like games that we've already seen, obviously. Like say with Stalker 2, maybe like a new mode or a new crew of weapons that are showcased or something that's gonna make it even more interesting or set pieces. For Black Myth Wukong, I definitely expect like something in form of not just new bosses or something like that, but like just new maybe release year at some point, you
Like
know,
a window, you
because
mean?
like a launch
Yeah.
window of some form.
Yeah.
Because yeah, they announced earlier on this year that they just went through, just delayed it out of
Yeah, in
2023 into
January they did. They
2024.
delayed it a whole year.
So I'm really curious to see how much they've advanced forward since that initial delay and what type of improvements they've been working on with it. But I expect to see at least like either a launch date or even a launch window in that regards. I'm gonna be optimistic and say maybe a launch window. But when it comes to Gamescom as a whole, I expect there to be like maybe like substantial updates to certain games we haven't like for some games that you know we haven't heard about in a while. But as far as what with Nintendo with their thing with Gamescom, I mean, here's the thing though. I was like, when is Gamescom again?
Next week.
Okay, next
So it
week.
start well, opening live is on Tuesday, and the show goes Wednesday through Saturday.
You know, I mean, with Nintendo, sometimes you can't really predict what they're going to go through and do. I mean, on the 22nd, there's supposedly some sort of like reveal thing for the Pokemon company. So it could be something in regards to their upcoming expansion stuff. I mean, there has been like rumors floating around the grapevine that apparently there's supposed to be like some form, like something to be introduced more so inside of like their expansions and stuff with a teal
Oh,
mask or
okay.
like
I
the
didn't hear that one.
disc and stuff like that. Like there's supposed to be like a Paradox Pokemon. There's like certain things that are rumored or supposed leaks of like a Paradox Pokemon that could be showcased there or whatsoever. But other than that though, I mean, you're right though. There really hasn't been too much in regards to anything being talked about what Nintendo is planning on showing over at Gamescom itself. But I'm remaining just like cautiously optimistic about that because even though I have said like yeah, this would be the most ideal time to go forth and like showcase something in terms of possible hardware
Yeah.
stuff. I mean, granted, that still could happen, but at the same point, I'm looking at it now from like perspective of, you know, it probably could be just an update of like a couple of the expansions of their games, like not just that, or maybe Splatoon 3, or
Yeah.
because we haven't seen really the any more updates upon that second expansion that was a part of that season pass for
That's right.
Splatoon
Yeah, you're
3.
right.
So that's something that we
Well, and
could
there's been
potentially
some
see.
rumblings about a Nintendo Direct in the next few weeks, in the first half of
Yeah.
September, so there's that.
Yeah, I've seen those rumors floated around as well. It makes sense though because well, it does make sense in one perspective is because when it comes to September and stuff, traditionally Nintendo generally tends to have that type of direct leading off not just for the end of the year but also because of the beginning of the next year as well.
Yeah.
But other than those things, Tyler, I mean, I really don't know what to expect other than what has been already told to us.
Yeah, and I think the big stuff that we're gonna hear about has probably already been told to us, like you said. We know, like, we know, like, yeah, like, Modern Warfare 3 doesn't do anything for us, but it's the biggest video game franchise in the world still. So that does mean a lot to a lot of people. So it doesn't move the needle at
Yes, it
all
does
for us,
still.
but there's a lot of people that are gonna watch this thing, that wouldn't otherwise or wouldn't even know about this thing if it wasn't for that. Yeah, I think like stuff like I think we can get a release date for like Stalker 2, Jacent. Yeah, I think that's I don't think we're gonna get too much else like because they're pretty much like Xbox seems like they're focusing on more stuff that's like pretty like coming sooner rather than later. So like that's why they're not talking about like games like Avowed or Hellblade, stuff like that. It seems like they're focusing on games that have like Party Animals is gonna be there. So that game comes out September. So they're kind of focusing more so on the games that are like scheduled for like later this year, or you know, possibly if they don't have a release date, maybe early next year kind of thing. Gamescom, like the only thing I can think of opening night live is like Kojima's been tweeting again. He's editing a trailer. So he's editing something, I rather. I shouldn't say trailer. Which last year he was there and he at opening live and he announced he was doing the podcast.
That's true.
So so he's doing something. Is it for that necessarily? Not a guarantee. Could be Tokyo Game Show, next, that's the end of next month. But I mean, it does, I think, Kojima, he's a shit post sometimes. We love and hate him for that sometimes. So, he loves to tease us a little bit. So I could see him being there. Obviously he's got the friendship with Jeff Keighley. So I wouldn't be shocked if he has something, but I'm not going to get like super crazy. The year before that, he had the, he announced, opening night live, he announced the Death Stranding definitive, the director's cut. So he's been there the first 2 years. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's there. I'm not expecting like some people are like talking about Death Stranding 2. I don't know about that. There's, we know he's making the Xbox game. We know he's making that horror game that leaked, some gameplay leak that we showed on this podcast was that last year sometime? That weird footage of the guy like recording it off of his laptop, and he's like, you can see the reflection of his shirtless body in the screen. It's very concerning. Yeah, so I don't know if that's the Xbox game, so he potentially be working on three games at once right now. We know he's working on the cloud game, horror game, and Death Stranding 2. So maybe it's the horror game. I don't know. I'm not trying not to get too excited with Kojima, even though I love him, despite Death Stranding. I don't know. Then like Nintendo was just like, there's been the rumors coming out that like from the beginning of the year there was talks that they were gonna re announce the new Switch, the new whatever it's gonna be. At either Gamescom or Tokyo Game Show, and people weren't like concrete saying that, but like saying for sure it was gonna happen, but saying that they were heavily discussing doing it, and I don't think Nintendo is gonna be there at this point because I feel like they'd make a bigger deal of it by now if they were gonna do something like that, they would have mentioned it already. It is weird they haven't mentioned anything at all, so I'm not expecting much from them, and especially because it's their first time back and. 4 years, you think they would? It could just be like, like they're doing the Seattle thing in a couple weeks, and they said that like it's not gonna have any. It's n there's gonna be no new news there. There's gonna be no unreleased games there. It's basically you just go there, you can play a bunch of games that are already out on there, and maybe there'll be some TV set up with like trailers for Super Mario Wonder and Pikmin 4 and stuff like that, Mario RPG. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's gonna be. I don't feel like I'm gonna come away disappointed because I feel like my, it's gonna be pretty hard because I'm not like expecting the world, but like I wouldn't be shocked if I come back next week, and I'm actually overall pretty positive on the show because I'm not like expecting a bunch of greatness. But we just get some release dates
Yeah.
and maybe some cool trailers. Like I'm like really excited to see what Soccer 2 looks like now, because I thought that some of the stuff we saw a couple of years ago looked excellent. I am hoping that maybe Replaced shows up somewhere because Replaced, that's the game I talk about, like that was also like much like Stalker 2. Was another Ukraine-based small Ukraine studio that was come out. They're supposed to have a trailer at Summer Game Fest last year, but then they couldn't because of the war. And that game was to come out last year, and we haven't heard anything about that game at all this year.
Right.
So maybe it's a make good here. Also, it's coming to Game Pass day one, so it could be something to do with Xbox. So I don't know. That's something I'm got my fingers crossed for because that Replaced game looks fucking awesome. But I am begging all games that don't have a release date right now, please don't come out this year. There's just too much good. There's just too
Yeah.
much stuff. There's like three pretty good games. There's like more than that, like four or five pretty good games coming out next week. And then like the week after that, there's like two or three more. And then after just like Starfield on, it's just a murderer's row of fantastic games. So
Yeah.
it'd be really great if we just not put anything out anymore. Like don't even put anything on December, because I'm gonna be like playing catch up the rest of the fucking year. I just try to keep up with like all the games coming out, let alone adding new stuff. So for my sake, please, if you're an indie game especially, please just come out in January, February, stuff like that, because yeah, it's a busy time of year. But yeah, let's move on here, Gables, to let's talk about some more. Let's talk about some Pokemon here. We've talked about them
all right
a lot in the last couple of weeks because they announced there was the rumors of the presents. Then we had the presents. So in an interview they did during the Pokemon Trading Card Championship Series, whatever you want to call it, the CEO of Pokemon Company did an interview. Someone asked about the future of Pokemon, the video games, and the issue, are they looking at changing anything? And this is what the CEO had to say. I think in general, if you look at the path we've taken up until now has been this consistent release, always regularly releasing products at a fairly fixed kind of cadence, you might say. Always having these products able to be introduced and new experiences for our customers, and that's how we've operated up until now. I think we're still operating in that way, but there's more and more conversations as the development environments change, but about how we can continue to do this while making sure that we're ensuring real quality products are also being introduced. So kind of a word salad here of two paragraphs of, yeah, we're talking about making changes. And I don't want to go on a whole rant about, the games they put out, the last few games they put out, Sword and Shield, and especially Scarlet and Violet. I'm not going to go that again. I've been doing it for a fucking year now. I'm tired of doing it. But I don't know, Gables, it's the thing we want them to do. I hope they do it. It's nice to at least acknowledge it. This is the first time they've actually acknowledged the issues of Scarlet and Violet, or the closest they've come to acknowledging the fact they exist. Someone did actually point out here that in the 27 years of Pokemon being around, there's only been 7 years a mainline game didn't come out. So,
that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're the Pokemon guy. I'm just gonna give you the floor on this one, Gables.
All right. Well, in terms of that, I mean, yeah, the CEO of the Pokemon Company is pretty much just outright saying that, yeah, they do recognize the issue because the quality of the products that they have been putting out, this is from what I'm interpreting, the quality of some of the products they have put out, could have benefited more from, more time in order to get the products more ironed out. At the same point, it's like, I look what they're doing consistently that has brought them success, which is quintessentially yearly releases of specific games, not just mainline games, but they're talking about a set schedule that the Pokemon Company has had for now over 20 years, ever since Pokemon came out, the animated series, the original Red and Blue, dating all the way back from 98 all the way up till now. It's like it's just goes into a cycle to where it's like every couple of years, okay, another generation, then you have subsidiary games with it, then you have the anime that goes alongside with the video games and stuff like that. There isn't really too much break in between a lot of the next major Pokemon games, with the exception, I believe it was from generations 3 to 4, I want to say, because even with that, 2002 was pretty much the release of third generation, Ruby and Sapphire. They had the show, they had everything else going right there. But then the wait between that generation and, say, Generation 4, that was let's see. They had Emerald, I think, in 2003, and then, around 2007, I want to say, 2006, 2007 was, Generation 4.
Didn't they have Fire Green and
Fire Red
in between there? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they had remake. Yeah. They had remasters of those games and stuff in between those reigns. So you could even say that, yeah, they did initial remakes of the original games to do that,
yeah,
and stuff to try to.
You're right. April 2007 for Gen 4.
Yeah, April 2007 for Gen 4 and stuff. Generation 3 was basically inside of 2002. So that was about a 5 year.
And there was a 4 year gap between 4 and 5.
Yeah, yeah, there's a 4 year gap between 4 and 5, yes.
But
when it comes to that, I mean, there are some spots, some paces and stuff, but from mostly what Pokemon fans have been going through and stuff, and what the Pokemon company has been doing, is just producing things at such a steady rate that at points it just seems like they don't seem to be wanting to take more time in order to produce certain, like, or elaborate on certain, like, games and stuff in order to make them whole of what they should be, if that makes sense. What I'm citing really is with the newer generations. I'm not talking about just Sword and Shield and, like, Sapphire, like, no, Scarlet and Violet. I'm talking more so even with the 3DS games too. I mean, just look at the case for, like, Sun and Moon and then Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Basically, you had those releases and then you release, like, the sequels to them pretty much, like, what, about a year or so
Yeah,
apart
they
or
came
so, or a
out the
year or
very
two
next year.
apart,
Yeah.
where they could have just spent the initial time and stuff, and instead of just releasing, like, the vanilla stuff right there, just taking, like, another year or two or some just to release just Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, or whatever the hell, and had everything on just one
Well,
package.
yeah, they
Or
can't
you
keep
could even...
people by the same two games four times.
Yeah, exactly the point. I mean, that's ridiculous even from back then. But and even another case is like with the generation before that, with Generation 6, with X and Y, because there was supposedly more content that was going to be inside that game with the whole thing with the Zygarde. You know, there was supposed to be like a Pokemon Z
Yeah.
or some aspect of it, but they initially just went over a lot of what they wanted to do with Generation 6, and that was because of how much of a crunch, really, of their time schedule stuff was for what they had going with the animated series, with the products and stuff between Gen 6 and Gen 7. So it would definitely be, in my personal opinion, a benefit for them to take more time in order to make more quality products, so we're not left with things that are either half completed, content that was initially like could have been updated but isn't updated to certain standards, or particular Pokemon games that receive like really no substantial updates in terms of their stability or in terms of their like game making works or some, like say with Sword and Shield, and especially with Scarlet and Violet now, even though both series, though both generations of games did receive expansions or are going to be receiving expansions. It's just when it comes to the quality of what people expect, like an average video game to be, it seems like Game Freak and the Pokemon Company more choose to release more in terms of these products on a yearly basis, knowing full well that these are going to be grossing enough to satisfy or even exceed without them even trying.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at the sales numbers for Sword and Shield and Scarlet and Violet, they're both over 20 million. Scarlet and Violet in the first like 3 months sold over 20 million copies. It's on pace to be the highest selling Pokemon game of all time. So they have no reason to do that. But think about saying for several years now, you know, it's the game after. Pay, you know, the one after the bad game pays the price of the previous game. So,
Which could be better than the previous game.
yeah. I use the Assassin's Creed analogy all the time. With Unity was awful. It was an okay game. It just ran like shit. And then the very next one, was actually really good, and no one bought it. It was the worst selling Assassin's Creed at that point in time, even though it was actually a really good game. But it had to pay the price for Unity. I mean, same thing. We'll look at Guardians of the Galaxy. It was our game of the year 2 years ago, 2021, and we love that game. But it was a disappointment because it paid the price for Marvel's Avengers. So,
Yep, absolutely.
yeah. So, who knows? But it's Pokemon. The Pokemon is a much different level. It's Nintendo and it's Pokemon, two very powerful IPs. So, yeah. We'll have to wait and see on that one. But I guess, you know, I'll try to be optimistic that maybe something will change. But we'll see. Next up, though, Gable, some sad news here, but I guess to be expected at this point. Xbox 360 store will be closing on July 29th, 2024. This specifically refers to the ability to buy content through the Xbox 360 console and the ability to buy content from the 360 marketplace site. It does not affect the ability to buy backwards compatible games. On the three for 360 or DLC on an Xbox One or a series console, those games will be continue to be available. You'll still be able to you know, download Any other games that you've and play any games you previously purchased through there, and games will still be available for on if it has online play of any kind. It will still be available as long as the publisher keeps the servers up.
Right.
But to about exactly 220 games will be affected by this, meaning that 220 games that are on the 360 marketplace that are not backwards compatible will be lost for good.
That's really sad, though. I mean, it just goes to show you that, yeah, even when we're gaming towards digital future, I mean, this is very real in regards to. In this regards to like the fact that not just these digital store places are gonna be, not there forever, but at the same time, it's like not just for preservation of games as well. I mean, we've already went through this multiple times now with multiple different storefronts from the Wii, like Nintendo with their Wii, like virtual console stuff, they shut down long ago. Then
DS.
obviously the Wii U, 3DS and stuff, and like the that stuff that's going through, and then. My Sony tried to do that with their PlayStation Store for the PS3 and like
The Vita.
the Vita and stuff, and enough of their fan base like revolt the kind of pretty much threw a stink about it to then they're not even going to be closing it until they extended things further out so people can have it for that moment, but they're just waiting for the right opportunity to go forth and close. And I think that with Microsoft now doing this with the game store, it's going to pretty much show to Sony, it's like, hey, well, the other two are doing it and stuff like that. Hey, it's probably about time that we shut down some of the storefronts for these games finally, since enough of the games that were on those system, like the PS3 or the Vita, have either gotten ports since then, or remasters, or whichever, or even are on other systems. Like, for example, Nintendo Switch has plenty of games that were either on the PSP or on the Vita that are ported. To that system that you can play handheld. And what's kind of hilarious about it is like there are many gamers, including myself, that kind of throw the joke where it's like the Nintendo Switch OLED is pretty much kind of like what the
I mean,
PlayStation
that was a
Vita
joke. Like the first like year of the Switch coming out was, like the Vita was like surviving strictly off indie games, and then the Switch came
Yes.
out and it basically just that was like the final nail in the coffin for the Vita was the Switch coming out because all those indie games were like, wait, people are buying this console, we'll go over here, and that's what they did.
Yes, exactly the point. But at the same time, I'm kind of curious in regards to the Xbox 360 only games that are still on the marketplace that are not backwards compatible. There's like 220,
I think most, a lot of those are gonna be
apparently.
like licensed games, probably. Those games that like that we see those games all the time. There's like Simpsons Arcade game, which got pulled a long time ago.
Yeah.
You're talking about like probably a bunch of old sports games. Like any of like the NCAA games are gone. That's probably fucking
Yeah.
50 right there.
Sure.
But it's probably there's like they had that indie. There's an indie store there for a long time, so. There were some good games on
Yes.
there. Like I remember, like up for like a.
Oh yeah, the game room thing they
Well, there was
had
game
going
room, but
there.
this was like there was like a just like an indie like it was like kind of like the indie like the basically like the smaller games like Steam gets like the kind of like the last few years of the 360 marketplace. They had like a whole like indie area you could
Yeah.
go into and you could buy. There's some cool games there. I remember like finding the, there was a game, a really great game on there called I Made a Game with Zombies in It. And it was just a guy. The guy made it
Oh
by himself.
yeah.
The game was, it was like 99 cents. The game was awesome. It was just a guy. He like he did the music. He did the game. He made a whole game by himself. It's just like a twin stick shooter, and it's just him like playing the drum, saying, "I made a game with zombies in it." That game was awesome. It was just him playing it on repeat over and over again, like until he died. That game was awesome.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Those type of games are going to be disappearing,
I imagine like it's
where
probably on
a
Steam
lot.
somewhere. I wouldn't be shocked if it is. I hope for
Maybe.
their sake it is. I don't know, I mean like I don't have the energy to get like too up in arms about this because like I mean this console is from 2005. So I mean we're talking I mean at that point 19 years. When you look at like Nintendo shutting down consoles like a decade or less after they came out and the Wii U and the 3DS.
Right.
I'm not, I don't know. You know, like I don't know. Like, I get it sucks,
I'm just.
but I will say this about
Yes.
Xbox is of the big three, they have been the best about saving these games. Like they you
Yes, they
can
have been.
play like old the original Xbox games on your Xbox consoles, your new Xbox consoles. They did the backwards compatibility. They've like a lot of servers
Yes.
are back. Like you can play all the old Call of Duties. Like you can play still from the 360 era
Yeah.
on your Xbox Series consoles.
That literally is going the next step in regards to not just preserving those games in terms of their servers, in terms of this and that and stuff, but also for like the older games in general that they could have just said, hey, we're not going to do backwards compatible for original Xbox or 360 games, and we'll just have Xbox One onwards to what we got going here. But instead, we have options still to purchase a lot of these 360 games and stuff on the storefront for the
Yeah.
Series X or S.
If you have like an
Like if.
Xbox original Xbox disc still, you could put KOTAR in your console and play it.
All right. So anyway, I was actually looking up the list here in regards to 360 only games and stuff like that. This thing was updated, I think, recently right here. So I'm just gonna read off this. I'm just gonna go forth and see which ones kind of like are some more noticeable here.
These are the
So
games that will be
I know,
lost forever.
I think so. Yeah, that are like 360 only, not backwards compatible or whatsoever. And you can chime in too if like if there's something that doesn't see here. So let me just double check to see if this is a decent list here. So pages and category Xbox 360 only games. The following 200 pages are blah blah blah. Out of 211 total, may not reflect recent changes. Okay. Because I was just about to say I see beautiful Katamari on here and I'm thinking, wait a minute, did that just get like a re-release?
Yeah, so a lot of, I mean, huh. Okay, I found a list here. As of
You did?
the full list of digital that will disappear. All right, let me go through some of these here. Alien Rage, Bastion, which is on new consoles, that's not true.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, some of these are not accurate because they're on other consoles. Burnout Crash. Call of Duty Classic. Yeah, I'm not the ones that like I recognize are on other platforms. So like Fez, which is on other platforms. Yeah, this so the, even like of the 211 games we're talking about here, they've been ported to other consoles. So it's probably
Right.
just the original versions will be lost. Yeah, so like we have like a bunch of NCAA games here I'm seeing. So that doesn't shock me. Those have been gone for a long time though. Yeah, so I mean it looks like the majority like they have a bunch of Street Fighter games in here. State of Decay, which is on other consoles. Well, it's on other Xboxes. So yeah, so this
Right.
of those 211 games, from what I understand here, like a lot of these games are like available elsewhere. So the ones that
Okay.
are like I even like that stand out to me, so I don't know. Like it sucks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to like deny it or whatever. Push it off. Like it doesn't. It's not a big deal or it doesn't matter. But
Right.
I don't know. I mean the big issue. Like I'm not trying to defend Xbox here, but like or be a fanboy at all. But like when they announced the backwards compatibility thing, they said like the developers publishers don't have to do anything. All they do is give us approval, and we
No,
basically.
that's true.
Fucking flip a switch and it's backwards compatible. And some of these cases, some of a lot of these are like cases where like it's probably shit that's like tied up in like licensing hell. Like I talked about like the Simpsons arcade game, like that was lost forever a long time ago because of licensing
Well, yeah,
issues.
that's true.
Like the NCAA games, you can't play like NCAA 14 was ever backwards compatible because of everything going on with them, licensing issues. So, I don't know, Gabe was like, I'm not, like I said, I'm not like. I get the frustration. I've never been the one to like get super upset about it, but it's like we just went through this earlier this year with like the Wii U and the 3DS, and there was like
Yes, we did.
1700 or 1800 games that are lost forever there. And in this case, we're talking about I scrolled through that list of 200, I think you said 211 games, and a good chunk of those games I know for a fact are been that are ported to other consoles. So I don't
Yes.
know. it, like I said, it sucks, but it, like, at this point, like I said, you know, Phil Spencer said, like, hey, all you gotta do is give us approval and we'll put it on the store. And it's just a matter of just getting the okay from the developers and publishers, so, and the
Right,
lawyers,
yes.
so. So I don't know. What else can they do at that point? You know what I mean?
Right, I understand. Their situation's a bit different than what we've had gone through before with the other console closures and stuff or
Yeah.
marketplace
This
stuff.
isn't Google Stadia announcing like a month out we're shutting down Google Stadia.
Yeah, that was much more egregious to
Yeah, and
people.
like when people like had like games in development, they were coming out the day the Stadia was going down, and they didn't tell anybody until they put the press release out. So, let's move on. Give us some other news this week. Got some interesting stuff here going on. So, Xbox Brazil Twitter account. This is like an official. It had the gold check thing, which means you're part of the
Yes.
corporation, I believe, on Twitter. They tweeted like a picture of like all these different like games on Xbox, and one of the pictures included Final Fantasy VII Remake in it. Then it was quickly deleted.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, that's right, because it was a Father's Day sort of thing and stuff, and they added the picture of
No, this
freaking
was just last week,
like.
Gables.
Yes,
Oh,
I
okay. Oh,
know.
was that what, I can't remember the tweet. It's been a while since I've seen it. I saw it like last Sunday.
Well, yeah, apparently it was supposed to be like some sort of Father's Day sort of thing and stuff, and they input a bear the picture of Barrett and his child and
Yeah.
stuff like that for was one of the pictures on the Xbox, and they had to quickly take that down because people quickly started to rethink that hey, it's gonna be Final Fantasy VII Remix coming to Xbox. Hey.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I
So.
can find the tweet. No, I can't. But yeah, so anyways, it looks like that's happening. They quickly deleted it. But I mean, the original rumor was that like Final Fantasy VII Remake only had like a 1 year. Oh, here is this it right here? Oh, I found it. I think I found it. Yeah, so yeah, it's it, but it's in like Spanish, so like, yeah, I can't understand what it's saying. But yeah, you're right. It is like a father thing. But yeah, it's probably happening. Makes sense. We just had the whole thing with like Final Fantasy 14 is coming to Xbox. They announced more games are coming to Xbox, and kind of the stuff has been out. It's been out there for the last like few months now. It kind of came out that like there's been an issue between at least the old CEO for Square Enix. They recently changed that there was some issues between Xbox and that CEO. So now that Square Enix is like, why are we just giving away this free money? So. And even like, like some games like that just don't come to Xbox from Square Enix.
Right.
Like, there's no reason they don't come. It's not like PlayStation bought exclusivity. They just don't go there. So, maybe this will change some of that because it makes business sense to put on everything. This is kind of a unique situation. We don't see this too often, Gables. Assassin's Creed Mirage went gold already, which is pretty incredible. Yeah,
Really?
like most games like nowadays, like they don't announce like gold doesn't mean what it used to mean. Like gold means like that's the game
No.
that's going out on the disc. Back
Right.
then that was a big deal, like pre-internet, like like pre like 2007 probably. Like the game that all right, cool, everybody's done working now because you can't do updates. Now it's like this is what's going on the disc, but everybody's gonna keep does not gonna stop working. Because they're gonna still keep making the game's not done. But in this case, it's kind of been typically like Starfield just went gold like Wednesday, I believe. And the game's not done yet, obviously. It's pretty incredible, 2 months out, it's going gold. And also they announced that it is coming out a week earlier on October 5th.
Oh.
To kind of get out of the way of everything going on. And I'll kind of get to what's coming out in October here in a second. But also, Alan Wake 2 got delayed by 10 days from the 17th to the 27th, which gives I so I saw a, like a headline that Alan Wake 2 got delayed, and part of me was like disappointed in the sense that like I think Alan Wake 2 is probably my Spider-Man and Alan Wake are probably like my 1A and 1B of most excited games for the rest of the year. So part
Yeah.
of me was like disappointed that I got delayed, but also like fuck yes, 2024, thank you. Like I was just like, oh cool, one less game I gotta like try to like get in before game of the year. But no, it's only 10 days, and they even said in the post about it that they're delaying it to kind of get away from all the other big stuff here. So I wanted to kind of look at October here, Gables. We've been We talk about how crazy this fall is, but here's kind of like some of the stuff coming in October, like kind of the name stuff here. Assassin's Creed, October 5th. Detective Pikachu returns, October 6th. NHL 24, October 6th. Forza Motorsport, October 10th. Lords of the Fallen, October 13th. Hot Wheels Unleashed, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, October 19th. Marvel's Spider-Man 2 and Mario Wonder on October 20th. City Skylines 2, October 24th. Metal Gear Solid Collection, Volume 1, October 24th. Alone in the Dark, October 25th. And Alan Wake 2, October 27th. So there was like that incredible like 10-day stretch between Forza on the 10th and Spider-Man and Mario Wonder on the 20th, where there was like 7 or 8 pretty big games coming out. And now it's like there's still like that many big games coming out, but now it's like 3 weeks instead of 10 days. I don't know how.
Well, that's much better. That's much better to digest.
Yeah. For me personally, I don't know how much it makes a difference because like, I feel like, I think Spider-Man comes out and Mario come out on a Friday and Alan Wake comes out on Tuesday. So it's like, I probably wasn't going to start Alan Wake before the weekend anyway. So it's like, so at that point, I'm probably just going to, like, Spider-Man is probably my main focus. And then I'm going to play Wonder on the side here and there. But like, Alan Wake was probably going to be put to the end. So it doesn't make a major difference for me because like, I was already going to play Alan Wake last probably, even though it's one of the most anticipated, but I think it's going to be a smaller game. It's going to be like a more compact game where Spider-Man's going to be, you know, probably 40 hour game. And Mario Wonder's probably gonna be like a, I don't know, 5 to 10 hour game.
Yeah.
And then like Assassin's Creed, like I already kind of like in my head, I'm like, that's going to be my Black Friday pickup game. And I'll just, you know, the game's going to be $30 on Black Friday and I'll buy it then and I'll play it. But yeah, I mean, it's just a pretty crazy. So, you know, it's smart to get away from it, but man, I'm looking at, where was it at? Alone in the Dark, October 25th. You gotta move, dog. You gotta go. I'm sorry. That game looks okay. Like, I don't think that game is going to be like great. I don't even think the game might even be bad. It's probably going to be like a game that in the end is going to be like a mid the high 60s to like mid to low 70s is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking between like 66 and like 74 is what I think is going to end up, which isn't bad. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. It's a full price game coming out in the middle of all of this shit. And I get you want to get in that Halloween bump, but I promise you, I'm not trying to be an asshole. I think that game looks fine. If I see that game for like $20, I'll probably check it out if the reviews are good. Not in October. In February, maybe, when nothing else is, if there's nothing else out, yeah, maybe I'll check it out. So maybe you need to move. What about you, Gables? What's your thoughts on all these games moving around?
Honestly, I think it's fine that the games are moving around, just, you know, moving things up or moving things out of 2023, like as it stands and stuff. I think October is going to be a pretty solid month to game in general. Yeah. I mean, you got Assassin's Creed Mirage, which hopefully is going to be more of a return of form in terms of quality in regards to Assassin's Creed. So I really look forward to seeing how that does. Obviously, I want to play Super Mario Wonder because it's something new. And the fact that the gimmick kind of has me hooked to wanting to just play around with it and see what type of weird gimmicks they've come up with here. Because sometimes a weird Nintendo in terms of what they make for games can be a pretty fun Nintendo. Yeah. Yeah. So other than that, though, I mean, it's basically going to be one of those type of months and stuff. It's going to be kind of a cool down from September with all the major releases, even leading up to September, you know, Armored Core 6, like,
yeah, Starfield. I mean, we can kind of run through this fast you want to here. So like next week here, Bomb Rush, just Friday, Bomb Rush, Cyberpunk, Madden, Texas Chainsaw came out just yesterday. On Tuesday, we got on the 22nd, we got Fort Solace, Mortals of Avium, WrestleQuest, can't forget about Smurf's Cart. Apparently that's a thing. Blasphemous 2 is coming out next week. Armored Core 6 is coming out next week. Right after that, we got Goodbye Volcano High, Samba de Amigo, Sea of Stars, Under the Waves, Trine 5, forgot about that. Coming out, and then like September. Like, September's not like crazy packed. It's got Starfield in it. Oh, fuck, I forgot about Baldur's Gate 3. God damn it. That's coming to PS5. Holy shit. Same day. Never mind. Take it back. We got NBA 2K. We got the Pokemon DLC. Crew Motorfest, Lies of P and Mortal Kombat come the same day. Party Animals, Intern Nights, Payday 3, Cyberpunk, Phantom Liberty, my fucking god, Cocoon, fuck. Got FC, the new FIFA game, FC 24, September. Never mind, Gables. You're right. It's September's crazy. Let's look at November. I'm going to look at November real fast. I feel like November's not going to be as crazy. So we got Star Ocean, the second story R, Thirsty Suitors, WarioWare, Move It. Oh, fuck. Like a Dragon, The Man Who Erased His Name. Call of Duty. Persona 5 Tactica. And also Mario RPG come out the exact same day. So never mind. December's kind of crazy, too. December, though, all we have is the Avatar. So there's that. And that's...
Yeah, it's basically going to be a cool down for... It's actually, you know, September is the biggest amount of releases of the entire year, and then it's kind of trickling down to where it's now going to be like after those games come out in September, it's a slow cool down from like the rest of the
Gables,
year.
Did you hear October? So, do I need to go through October again, Gables? Do I need? I'm gonna go through it again. We got Assassin's Creed, Detective Pikachu, Forza, Lords of the Fallen, Hot Wheels 2, Marvel Spider-Man, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, City Skylines, Metal Gear Solid Master Collection, Alone in the Dark, Alone 2.
Yeah, September and October, obviously big release months and stuff, but the November, December is the cool down.
Do I need to go through November again, Gables?
Like I said, man, it's going to be
cooling
down.
There's no
cooling
down, Gables. There's no such thing as cooling down. It's 2023, Gables. It's just, it's anxiety all the fucking time now.
Dude, have you ever remembered a year where like almost every month of the year or something, there's been some big game release?
No. Like I thought I'm gonna have like after I beat Final Fantasy 16, I'm gonna have like a good like 4 or 5 weeks where I'm not gonna be like, I don't have a bunch of games I gotta play, like fucking finally. It's been like just craziness since pretty much the entire year, but like really like beginning of March, like Wolong, beginning of March, on, it's been nuts, and like finally I got like a nice little gap here, right until like. Right up until football comes out. And I got fucking watch football between all the shit too. And it's the busiest time of the year for my work. But I'm like, all right, cool. And then there was like 7 indie games I wanted to play came out in like the last like month. So I'm like, God damn it. So I'm trying to play through those. So now I'm trying to cram through those before Starfield comes out. So it's been nuts. Anyways, moving on here. So Saudi Arabia was the ones that actually nixed the deal for $2 billion with Embracer. So there was a thing happened few months ago where like the CEO of Embracer was very depressed at like a quarterly report, and they mentioned that like a $2 billion deal at the very last second was nixed, like literally the night before, and like that was basically gonna be the thing that kind of like like investment that got him through it. He wouldn't say who it was. Stephen Sotillo actually figured out, doesn't know why it happened, but Saudi was the people involved that backed out of the deal. So people know, like, Saudi Arabia has been like heavily investing in a lot of like in video games a lot. Like they own SNK now completely. They own 7% of Nintendo. They own a good chunk of EA and Take Two as well. They've been talking about like buying like a company outright as well. They're planning on spending an additional like $38 billion in video games. So people are now wondering, like, is this them trying like kind of fading out of that now, that idea, because like there's been this whole initiative they've been going through, kind of it's been called like sports washing mostly, like where they've been investing a ton of money in like they did like Live Golf, they give a bunch of money to EA or to WWE to do the events there every year. They can do like the propaganda stuff, so yeah, it's been a big thing they've been doing, trying to just invest their money into other things outside of oil, so they're kind of like, you know, that way they're not all in on oil, because they know that's not like a long, like, you know, a long-term thing. They need to kind of spread out the money and where it's going and get money from other places. So,
yes,
not trying to get political here, but that's basically the idea of what they're doing, from what I understand. And that's actually what they said they're doing. So, that was who it was. Saudi already is like invested multiple, over $1 billion into Embracer already, but, that's kind of like set the idea. Like, we've talked about Embracer for a long time now. They've been buying all these studios, all these IPs. And it's like, what are they doing? Like, they own all these IPs. They have like six or seven different publishing houses. They have all these different umbrellas.
Yeah,
Like
really.
THQ Nordic's a part of them. Koch Media, which I think is now actually, they changed the name of that one. I can't remember what it is now. Like they've been like putting stuff to, like they've been like merging stuff together now. Like I can't keep track of what's what now. I don't understand it. Like the whole business idea doesn't make a lot of sense. We did like the THQ. We talked about the THQ Nordic thing last week.
Yes.
Like I'm not a business expert at all. But this has been the thing that we've all been talking about for like, I don't know, it feels like 3 or 4 years now. Like, I don't know what you're planning, but it doesn't look like you know either. And it doesn't seem like it's gonna
Exactly.
go.
It seems like they're hoarding a bunch of, it seems like they mean that they're just hoarding a bunch of license and also the different studios and stuff like that, and try to make it more like as an investment sort of acquisition, stuff like that. And you know, if they were initially trying to do deal with Saudi Arabia to get all this money inside there, I can understand why that after as soon as they backed out the last second, it just kind of threw a monkey wrench into everything that we're kind of wanting to initially do, because I don't really think that the Embracer Group was wanting to really more so like expand with like with a lot of various game companies to try to evolve them for the better. I think it was more like a kind of like, okay, let's just go take stock and like buy up these all these individual companies and stuff, let them do their thing and stuff, and then that way we can earn all this money and do this and do that and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely sucks they lost out on all that money and stuff from the Saudi group and stuff. But at the same point, you know, it's like now they got to deal with the ramifications of, okay, now that we don't have this $2 billion boost or something like that, now there's going to be a lot of cuts and a lot of subsidiaries selling off of
Yeah, they already
things
had a bunch of
because of
layoffs and stuff, and
crap.
like they've already like merged multiple like studios together, which like, I feel bad for the layoffs, people losing jobs, but it's like
Yeah.
when company buys other companies, usually like they when they have a lot of like, well, we don't need two people doing the same job, so like that happens. But it's like they were just like they have all these different like, you know, like Activision, they just publish all of their games, they all the studios they run. They publish all the games of those
Yes.
studios. But like Embracer has all these different companies that publish and they have developers and they have publishers. So they have like over a half dozen different publishing houses as well as developers and stuff, develop and like over 100 studios developing games for them. So like it make more sense of like just put the games out and instead of, you know, being, I don't know, who does Saints Row?
Oh my gosh, like Volition or
Volition, yeah,
something
like
like that?
Volition is also a publishing house, so it's like something like Volition as well. Like make just like Volition is the developer, and then Embracer is just be Ubisoft, just Embracer just be the Ubisoft name. Just like that's the publisher, Embracer. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me why you do it, but like I'm not a business expert, but it's like, you know what, like that name would mean a little bit more if like we saw it all the time and like we play this game instead of like, oh, it's also Embracer thing, but
Right.
like doesn't the Embracer's not anywhere on here. So when we see Embracer, we see THQ Nordic. We don't, that name doesn't mean too much to us, because it's so they spread themselves too thin. And then also like, when you, like there's nothing wrong with putting out double A games. There's a market for it, like these smaller games. But like, they talk about like they've been doing a lot of like these remasters. And then like if the remasters do well, then they do like they do new games of those or they do remakes.
Yes.
And the problem is like, yeah, that's great, you can do that. But like the margins on those are very thin. So it's like, can only, you know, miss out so many. So and then the games come out like no problem, it's not a big deal being sevens, but it's a lot harder to swallow that, you know, when a game comes out and it's a seven or it's a, you know, in the 60s kind of thing. Like it's a lot hard to swallow it at full price. So like I said, the margin is very thin. Hope for the people that work there, they can figure it out, but yeah, we'll see. Next up here though, Keith David is replacing Lance Riddick for his role in Destiny. Gables, you're the Destiny guy. I've seen some back and forth on that one. Kind of like if you're going to replace the role, Keith David is probably the best person to replace the role, I would say. But how are you feeling, Gables, on this one?
Actually, I feel great about it because I like Keith David as a voice actor, and quite honestly, he would fit the role of Zavala perfectly, is because of the fact that not only does he have the voice actor itself, like has experience playing other characters, say like in other sci-fi games, like say for Mass Effect and like some other voice acting roles and
Yeah.
stuff, but yeah, you know what? I really just like the pick in general, personally. I mean,
Yeah.
he generally does a great job in his acting and generally doesn't like say anything too stupid or like inconsistent with what he delivers, you know, in terms of
Yeah.
emotion. So I'm kind of interested. been like hearing more in regards to what he's recorded for Zavala. It's better than say outright killing the character directly, because at the same point, Zavala is one of those characters that's kind of an integral part of like Destiny 2 in
Kind
terms of not just the story
of, he
stuff,
ties the whole room
but
together.
yeah. And though I can understand why like other Destiny players like see it as kind of like a bad thing and stuff, because a lot of them feel like, oh man, Zavala, it was, this guy's like character or something like that, it's like they should just retire the character or should just do this or do that, and it's like I understand, but at the same time, there are just some things that we just need to move on with, and that's the route that Bungie ended up taking with just like recasting Zavala as a voice actor and stuff, and this established voice actor inside the gaming industry and stuff, and I'm glad it's Keith David.
It's a no-win situation on both sides. So whether you retire the character or you replace him, so it's a tough call. But I feel like they made the best of it. Another thing here about Starfield reviews drop if you're interested. The embargo is up August 31st on at 11, I believe 11 a.m. Pacific time.
Ooh, so if I could sell it 2 weeks from
Yep,
now.
so about 2 weeks, day before early access are the people that buy the premium edition comes out. So we shall see.
Boy.
Pretty excited. This is gonna be a, I'm not like usually like super pumped for like reviews. Typically, we typically have a general idea how games are gonna do, but this is one I'm very curious about how it's gonna do. This is
Yeah.
maybe the most important Xbox game to come out in a long time.
It is their most important because this is the first party game that people have been waiting
This is what you bought
for
Bethesda
literal
for.
years. This is why you bought Bethesda for.
And last but not least here, apparently Chris Pratt and Tom Holland are going to be the voices in a Jack and Daxter movie.
Okay, why not? I mean, that's just the thing, it's like I've heard Chris Pratt inside the Mario movie and I thought he was all right in terms of the
Wasn't
Mario
offensive.
movie. I mean, no, it wasn't really too offensive. But at the same point, okay, Tom Holland and freaking Chris Pratt as Jack and Daxter. I mean,
Well, I seen Tom Holland in
okay.
Uncharted and it was offensive.
Well, yeah, but then again, you have like him playing as Nathan Drake, so it's like, eh.
They should.
I didn't really watch the movie, but even from the clips that I have seen, it's like it didn't really impress me too
Yeah,
much.
I told Justin if he let my best friend Justin, I told him if he lets his kids watch that movie, I would call child protective on him. And Gables,
You got
if
big
you watch
kids.
that movie and your dog's around, I will take your dog. So that's how offensive that movie is to me. So just keep that in mind when you wanna if you wanna fuck around, watch that movie because it's bad. It's real bad. Gables, let's move on to what we've been playing. Do you wanna go first? You want me to go first, buddy?
You know what? I'll have you go first this time.
Alrighty. So I played a few games this week. I don't have too much to say on any of them. First up, I played a game called Fall of Porcupine, which heads up, this was a review code that was provided for me on this one from the publisher. I played the first like 90 minutes, so I did something here at Gables this week, last couple weeks here. I went outside my comfort zone, and there's a couple games that
Okay.
I really dug the vibes for them for a while. I'll talk about the other game here next, but they're both similar type of games. So Fall of Porcupine was a game that I believe was at an indie event, I think last year, earlier this year, and I really dug the vibe, the art style, the music, and everything of it. But it is a game where basically everybody in the world are animals. You play as a
Yes.
bird who works at a hospital. They're all they basically are like humans, but they're animals. There's like elephants, there's pigs, there's shit like that. You kind of walk around, kind of like gives you like Night in the Woods vibes. That game, if people remember that indie game that I really tried to get into as well and just did not vibe with it. And it's very much that one. It's very narrative driven, which I'm a big fan of Telltale style games, Life is Strange, those are my kind of games. But these games just have not clicked with me. It's very much that I can't remember the name of the Finley. I can't. I blanked the name on the character, the main character. I apologize for that. But you work at a hospital and there was like an incident that happened where you just started there and then you got like something happen. It's like a mystery of like you don't really know what happened. And I'm assuming this is what the game turns into be is like figuring out what happened at the hospital here. But, like, you get a concussion and you're out for a few weeks. And it's like your first day back there since then. You have like a cell phone, like text messages with all the people like that work there and your friends and family. And you can read that and you kind of like, which I'm a sucker for some of that stuff. Like I've been like Life is Strange. Like I'll go through all my emails and text messages and stuff like that. Yeah, you go to the hospital, like you work there and there's like little mini games you do. Like you have to like change the bedding or like the wrap on, for your patients and stuff like that. There's actually like a little mini game kind of initiate and you get graded on it. Like I said, I played the first like hour and a half or so and, just did not like it. It's just not like, I don't think it's a bad game. It's just, it was not a me thing. This is like a game that, this is a game that like I dug everything else about it, but I just was not enjoying like what I was doing like in between that stuff. I'm like, I just, and it's, there's no voice acting. It's all text based.
Okay.
So it was just like, it just did not vibe with me. So I, like I said, apologize for that one, but just not a me game, not a Tyler game. Another game, very similar in this, that sense, is a game called Space for the Unbound. This game came out in January of this year, and I heard a ton of praise about it. I watched some trailers for it a while back, and I love the trailers. I love the vibe of it. Love the art. It's like a pixel art style. This is like more so of like almost like a point-and-click adventure, like a Secret of Monkey Island style game, where you play as a boy named Atma, A-T-M-A. I believe it takes place in like Indonesia. I'm not sure what time span is, but there's like a, excuse me, like you, like there's an internet cafe there. That is like it has like old monitors there. So I'm assuming like late 90s, early 2000s era, maybe. But you have a girlfriend, and like you're in high school, and it's kind of like basically like she has like powers, and then you find this like you keep having these weird dreams about this other girl that's like writing a novel, and you're helping her write this novel, and like you kind of like. Each chapter is like you kind of like you keep waking up at your desk, like you fell asleep in class. And I really love the story, I love the characters, I love the world and everything about it. But it's based like a point click adventure game. And I was just like, it's super, it's not like challenging at all. Like, doing the like figuring out what we need to do is pretty simple, it's just more so doing it. Like, there's no like you just gotta walk around, you can find it. Like, I never at any point got stuck for more than like 2 minutes, probably on anything, but I looked up how long the game is, and it's like a 9-hour game. I was like 3 hours. I got like 4 hours in. I'm like, I like this game a lot. Like, I was getting into it, and then I found out, I'm like, I'm not even like halfway into it. And I'm like, I can't finish this game. But I really like it. I bought this one. I did buy myself. I waited for it. It was on sale. It's typically like $20. I got it for 15. So not like a huge discount, but I'm going to save $5. But I actually like really like this game. Like kind of the story and all the characters. I love like where the story was going and I was interested into it, but I was just not enjoying, like, I don't know. I've tried to get into these games in the past. Like I went back and I played like Return of Monkey Island when it got remastered on 360 and stuff like that back in the day. And like, I don't know, like but back then, like I was like, you know, like 19, 20, something like that. When I played that game, it was like much different gaming taste then than I am now. And like, you know, this is like pre-Telltale and stuff like that for me. So I thought I'll give these kind of games a chance again. Like, these two games are like really, like, I really like the vibe they're giving off. I like all what they're doing. They're just not for me. They're not for me. I think they're fantastic games, especially like Space for Unbound, where like I put 4 hours in that game. Like, I was really loving all that stuff. So like, if you're a fan of these style of games, like, just check out a trailer, because that game. It's actually like, I think that game could be like really cool. Fall of Porcupine, I don't really know. Like, the reviews I've seen out there are pretty good. So it's like, I imagine it's pretty good. But that game is also, I've seen like 7-8 hours long. I'm like, God damn, I can't. No.
Right.
Like, if this is like 4 hours or 5 hours, I probably would have, like, all right, I'll keep playing it. But no, I can't. I can't do it. Last but not least here, though, Madden 24 Gables is out. It's really good, Gables. The video game gods did not want me to play this game, though. We've been fighting this week. The game dropped at like 7 o'clock my time Monday night. I'm like, fuck yeah. I actually got off at like a decent time Monday night. I'm going to play the game. Fuck yeah. Servers immediately went down. Couldn't play the game. So like Monday night, couldn't play it at all. Tuesday, I'm like, all right, cool. I got off at enough time. Like, I can at least like get started in my franchise mode, you know, and do some shit. I was so excited about it. And then my mom called me. She's like, hey, we're going to the fair. Can you watch the dogs? I'm like, God damn it. So I ended up having the dog sit. I go over there and dog sit. So I couldn't play the game. Wednesday, worked super late, didn't have time. Thursday, power outage at my apartment. Couldn't play it. It came back on like early enough from when I got, but it was like 45 minutes before I go to bed. So I'm like, never mind. And then last night, finally got to start it. Played it. Played a bunch. Probably put like, I think I played like 7 or 8 games now at this point. But my franchise mode, I'm really happy with it. This stuff, this, like for me, it's like I do only do franchise mode. That's my thing. But I really like franchise is my thing. I never check out like the yard or anything like that. But I'm really happy. Like for like someone like me, it's like puts this is like my game. Like this is like, you know, like a lot of people have like Call of Duty Warzone or Destiny, whatever. This is my that like franchise mode is that for me. And I used to put like 200 plus hours into them every year. Now it's like now I'm getting older and I don't have much time to play games. Now it's like 100, 150, but still that's like triple anything else, double probably anything else I play over the course of the year. I'm really happy with like overall like gameplay changes. Like franchises getting better every year. Like I still want more. This year the big things they've added, like they have like the training camp and the mini camp mode. Like they have all like the old like the mini games you can do, like to get your characters. You get XP boosts, you get skill points, stuff like that. So you get your players better, so you can get their stats better, or their skills better overall. So they have like the target practice, they have like the rush attack. You can rushing the passer or like stopping the run or you know whatever. Like they have all those games from like the 2000s early 2000s PS2 era. They're back and they're awesome. They're really cool. They've added like some like into the, like really like nitty gritty stuff here that I love, and like the fact that like they have like now you can like restructure your contracts, your players' contracts in franchise mode, which is awesome. So if you want like push like financial numbers down like later years, you can do that. That's really cool. So it's more realistic to like what see a lot of, like teams do nowadays. You can actually like they've extended out like for you can do trades forever. It's only been you can only do like there's only 3 trade slots. And you can only trade picks for that year and the next year. Now they've changed this. Now you can do 2 years into the future. And now there's 6 slots. So it's more realistic now. We're like, it's very frustrating. Like other games where like, I want to make this big trade for this. Like, you know, I want to trade for like, hypothetically, I want to trade for Justin Jefferson in previous years. You can offer 2 first round picks and, you know, a really good player. And they're going to say no to it. And like, you literally can't offer anything enough for them to there's not enough slots to offer them enough to like trade you Justin Jefferson if you want to do that. Right. Now you can like you have 3 different drafts you can trade picks from, and you have 6 slots you can trade players from, stuff like that. And then like gameplay wise, like they've done like a lot of changes, like fixing issues. Like it's every year is like that. It's like it kind of sometimes maybe like kind of they kind of go a little too far with it, but then they dial it back with the updates over time. But like some stuff they fix is like. Used to be like you can hold like R1, I believe. Like I know how to do it like when I play the game, but like when I say how to do it, I don't know. Like I believe you hit R1, you hit like the square to throw to the square receiver. Like you can do a high pass and like R2 is a low pass. Oh no, it's L2, sorry, on PS5. And like you can do like high pass and low passes. Like last year's game, like you do high passes like on like certain routes. Like you can like it kind of like froze up the cornerback enough that like it was like 80% of the time it was a catch. It was just kind of like the computer would like kind of like weird out. And they fixed that. So you can't spam that anymore. They made like rushing for the first time in quite a few years now is like never been like bad or broken, but like it's always been kind of, it feels like it's always like you're either going to run for like a touchdown, like a big touchdown or like 20 yards, or you're going to like get tackled for a loss or like gain 2 yards. It's always very much, like it's like strikeout home run types feels like the last handful of years. And this is the first time like in a while where like actually like it just works really, really well. Like you're like the offensive lineman and like your receivers when they're blocking, when you're running the ball for your running back, they are actually like doing the logical thing of like blocking the person directly in front of you. Like in previous years, they would just like the lineman in front of you, you have like 3 linemen in front of you. And they would just keep running down the field. And meanwhile, like you have like 3 guys running at you, and they just run right past them and keep going. It's like I need you to block them. So like it fixes that. And also makes like screen passes better. So like really like nerdy shit that I like. That like you know, someone like me has put up you know thousands of hours into this franchise. So yeah, like I'm pretty happy with it overall. No, I don't know like the other changes they made, but like I'm pretty happy with like where franchise is going. It's still got a ways to go, but it's getting better. They're getting better every year. There's no, like, you know, the, like, other than the servers were down Monday night, I haven't had any, like, weird bugs yet. I haven't had any, like, glitches, anything like that. Like, the last few years, like, on launch day, like, that first, like, week has been pretty rough. This one, actually, other than, like I said, the servers were down Monday night, I haven't had any actual, like, real issues, like, gameplay or the game freezing or, like, losing progress. Because, like, early last year or, like, the first, like, month of the game, like, randomly you would, like, finish a game. You, like, hit, you know, finish game, exit the main menu, and then, like, you go back to the main menu, and that whole game just didn't save. And you had to replay the game over again. Like, that was, like, an issue. And then, like, last year, last year's game, like, randomly, like, if anybody logged in for, like, a two-day stretch to their franchise mode, like, they lost all the save data. So, like, not anybody, but it was, like, 30% of people did. Luckily, I didn't. So, I didn't lose that. So, yeah. So far, none of that shit's happened yet. Obviously, shit can go down wrong down the line. But overall, it's been really good, really positive. I'm happy with the changes, but I'm also like a giant Madden fanboy. So take my word for what you will on that. But that's all I'm playing, Gables. What about you?
All right, so I've been playing a couple of games. I finished up my initial run for Castlevania Symphony of the Night, the playthrough with just my fists. I'll tell you one thing, though. What was really hilarious about that whole run in general is like how long it took me just to defeat certain bosses and certain enemies and stuff. So I went through the different bosses. I took out Medusa. She was fairly easy, though it took me like about 3 minutes just to beat Medusa because I was just using my fists in combination with that and magic stuff. Then when I went to go play against the secret boss, you know, the one that you, it's the extra boss, like that's even more powerful than the final boss. It took me like almost 10 minutes to beat this boss. And basically the whole entirety of the boss, I was just basically punching at the boss's ankles while wearing a freaking, like, lightning, lightning-resisted, like, no, a lightning-based item, right, that replenishes my health every time I'm hit with a lightning attack and stuff. So basically how the little cycle would go here is I face off against Gallimoth and stuff like that, and I'm punching at his freaking ankles and stuff in my character. And then, like, on occasion, he'll actually go and he'll spread out. He'll have his scepter, like, point out and he does these electric attacks. While I'm doing that, his lightning that's coming off there is actually regenerating my health. And so the only things I really had to do was just to avoid, like, the little balls of light that he would shoot from his scepter and stuff. Because those initial things that would not heal me, but would actually cause me damage. So it was basically 10 minutes of doing that back and forth, which is really hilarious. And actually, brother, well, actually got kind of repetitive after about 5 minutes. I'm like, oh God, why won't he die? But the final boss of the entire game when I was facing off against Dracula actually made it a little bit more enjoyable in terms of the difficulty stretch, because I'm so used to beating that final boss with the overpowered weapons like Alucard's sword or the shield and stuff with like the shield rod and stuff, like Alucard's shield and the shield rod and stuff. So when you use that attack or something, your shield just basically does like infinite sort of attack for like a specific amount of times. But it was fairly difficult. I actually got down to like my last 60 health points, and I had like at least over like 600 at this point because I was inside of my early 40s. I was like level 43, which was around the range where you're supposed to fight Dracula in terms of his final form and stuff. But now that I think about it, I think I was actually two or three levels under. So I was under level going into the boss battle, was managed to detour and do all sorts of different stuff in order to try to do any type of damage, from like magic attacks to like try to dodge a lot of the snakehead stuff that he has with his final form. But yeah, I was able to finish up that run. I got close to around 198 completion in terms of that. I got the best ending for that run, so that one was enjoyable. But I'll tell you what, Tyler, the meat and potatoes of what I played this past week was the Pokemon trading card game on the NSO.
Nice. Nice.
Oh my gosh, dude. I mean, I said a little bit about what I said last week and stuff. Like, I was losing matches. I pretty much was just spending my time, like, facing off against the practice guy using, like, normal duels. And I was, like, getting a whole bunch of energy cards. Well, after that, I decided to go around in each individual little buildings and stuff based upon certain elements and this and that, plus checking the emails and stuff, because when you check the PC and you get like the emails and stuff from like one of the professors, they'll actually give you a pack and along with advice on how you can actually take on the leaders of those specific like houses. So I was getting like decent cards that would help the structure of my deck currently. So to reiterate, my deck that I'm currently running is sort of like a water psychic sort of hybrid to it, where predominantly water is the main focus, but then you have subsidiary like psychic type Pokemon. Abra and Kadabra are the ones that I'm using for the subsidiary mostly, with like I think like a gas, like a couple of Gastlys and like Haunter at that point. So I have that plus my main core for like the water type Pokemon. I have the Squirtle line, obviously. It's the Squirtle, Wartortle, and Blastoise. Blastoise being one of my major like attackers. But as far as some of the other Pokemon, I have Eevee, I have Vaporeon, I have like a couple of Kangaskhan. I think one of the more hilarious parts about having Kangaskhan is like I don't basically use him for attack. I use him as a big wall because he has all these like hit points and stuff with a lot of the different Pokemon's base forms from my opponent using that'll do like maybe 10 or up to like 30 damage based upon how many energy cards are attached. So I just basically just use Kangaskhan per like attach like a random energy card to him. So okay, use your fetch ability, which automatically draws one card and just ends the turn. And so here I am coming up with ways of using certain tactics I used to use with Yu-Gi-Oh in terms of making the deck as fast as possible to get the cards that I
The stall
want.
tactic, is that what it
So
is? No, stall is
it's not
different. Never mind, never
more.
mind. It's the opposite.
Well, it's not an entire deck of like a stall stuff. No, this is more like a combination of, yeah, there is stalling involved, but yet the reason why I'm doing that is because I want to draw more cards out of my deck so it's not as
Yeah.
slow. But yeah, that with those two Pokemon, as well as I drew a couple of Articuno out of some of the packs. So Articuno is really good inside of this game because it basically has an ability to where if you attach like four or five water energy cards to it, it not only does like 50 damage or something like that, but there's an option to where if you flip a coin, you land it on heads, it'll actually do 10 damage to the opponent's like Pokemon on their bench. So I've actually knocked out a Pokemon doing just that. But what's really interesting in regards to some of the legendary Pokemon I've gotten so far, like Articuno or even like Mewtwo. I actually drew a Mewtwo out of one of the packs. Mewtwo isn't really as strong or something like that. And some of the legendary Pokemon aren't as strong as some of like other forms and stuff that you're trying to get and try to earn. But some of the more useful cards I've ended up using are Pokemon like Kangaskhan or Articuno or Blastoise or even to some extent a lot of the trainer cards like Bill. There's the trainer card Bill that just allows you to straight up like draw two cards. I have like about three of them inside my deck because, dude, you have that in combination with like maybe a one Professor Oak that which has you discard your entire hand to draw seven cards, or just like using computer search, which just allows you to like basically offer two cards that you're not using so you can search for any card in your entire deck to add to your hand. These are the type of cards that, if it were another card game like Yu-Gi-Oh, they'd be super broken and probably be banned upon like consequential like ban lists. Like basically, the Bill card, trainer card, is like the equivalent of Pot of Greed, which is like you draw two cards from your deck straight up with no repercussions or any type of side effects or anything like that. But yeah, a lot of those trainer cards that I got, like Item Finder, like Computer Search, Bill, Professor Oak, and stuff. And then there are like a couple of splash cards I have that will, like, energy removal type of thing, where I basically can remove a, like, an opponent's, like, energy from one of their cards or something, or, like, even, like, get, like, a whole bunch of, like, energy cards back from my discard pile and stuff in order to try to use them for a specific Pokemon. I've really gotten more into the strategy of trying to create a great deck currently, but I know that I'm going to be having to create multiple decks because they have the option to give you like about maybe a 6 to 8, I want to say, different deck like spots. So I'm already hard at work at making more of an electric fighting sort of like deck and try to use Pokemon so like Electabuzz or whatsoever, or maybe even Graveler or Golem, because those ones are going to be pretty fun. Oh boy. But as far as the medals, I went through the entirety of the fighting dojo. So that fighting one where you basically had to go and investigate like certain areas to defeat his like his students and stuff before you get to face him directly inside the main one. And man, that battle went on and on, it felt like, for a good solid 5 minutes, but I finally got down to where I was able to draw the cards I exactly needed, build it up to like Blastoise, and Blastoise actually ended up winning my medal for me. So I've actually gotten one medal out of the initial subsequent ones. I've tried facing off against the Water Master. I've tried facing off against like the oh God, I think either the one for grass or something like that. I still have to and that basically all I'm still doing all this with a water deck that I have. So I'm gonna have to change up certain elements, see what I can do about it. But otherwise, I've been enjoying this game because it's having me think in a way I haven't thought in a while, which is how do I build the best deck without having to sacrifice a lot of quality, but in terms not just of that, but putting the best cards possible just to make my deck completely broken. So this is definitely a fun ass game. And
Well,
that's all I've been
cool,
playing.
man. I'm glad you're liking it. It's one of my favorite games growing up, so glad you're still liking it now. So I need to get into it. I started it up. I did like two matches and I haven't gone back, so
Well, it just depends upon the mood that you
yeah, just
want to
try to,
do.
yeah, I'm trying to just keep up with the games I have. I can't go back to some other
I
shit,
understand.
so I'm so far behind. But yeah, I think that's gonna wrap it up for this week, guys. So thank you guys so much for watching, listening. I don't know, just playing us in general, even if you're not listening or watching. Doing that, if you're doing this and you are listening, or watching, hit that thumbs up button, hit 5-star reviews, leave
Yes.
comments, share with your friends, check us out in other places. Our description down below, you can see links to all of our socials and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever that. Just search for us wherever you go, and Drunk Nerds, Drunk Dash Nerds, and you will find us there. So appreciate if you did all that for us. Really helps out if you did all that. So, but until next time, I was host. That was Tyler.
And I have been Colonel Gables. So until next time, everyone, play some games. And thank you for listening to a fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
Any Gables? Too sweet.
Yes. Too sweet, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.